Kolick a little while ago.
You watch him now on the screen.
It's bad ball. It's bad football.
That was Jim Bellett, number 61.
I get.
Speak up, please.
Get you some of that, Jalen Tabor!
Is that good enough for you?
I'm almost embarrassed.
You can be miserable, but they are going to be miserable with you.
I said what I said.
We have to score.
What an exciting time in America.
And here he is, having the time of his life.
Don't clap. That could be tough. Don't clap.
Welcome in, Cube Show. Glad you're with us. Last show of the week here on 7:30 a.m. 103.9 FM WUMP. You can listen to us online at umpsports.com. Also, download the app in your App Store, iPhone or Android for free. Search WUMP. 866-485-9867 if you want to get in on the phones. We're live in the Southern RV Wholesale Studio. And glad you're tuning in. On the show today, we'll give you our final college football playoff ranking if it were to begin today. So you can get yours in. Tweet those at Cube Show. Obviously, the Final Four has been released and it's out. Ours may look a little different. We'll give you that today if it were to begin today. Maybe your opinion's changed in the last 3 days. Bud Elliott of TomahawkNation.com going to join us at 7:40. Willie Taggart to be named the new Florida State head football coach today. Laura Rutledge of the SEC Network at 8:20. Vegas Runner gets you set for the weekend at 8:40. And Lance Taylor, Lines with Lance, 9 o'clock this morning. So the Tennessee coaching search appears to finally sort of be taking shape. It feels like they have zeroed in on a couple candidates. I think T. Martin is still a part of this. I think you have three other realistic candidates right now, as Arkansas also names the head football coach yesterday, and Chad Morris is going to be off the table. Some people thought that he was a possibility at Tennessee. I think Mel Tucker, Jeremy Pruitt, and Kevin Steele are right there with T. Martin. And one of those four is going to be your next head football coach at Tennessee. Philip Fulmer in New York for the Pro Football Foundation awards banquet and meetings this week. Had a chance to interview a couple of those. We've heard that Mel Tucker's gone back for a second interview. Jeremy Pruitt's gone back for a second interview. Maybe even a third conversation with Philip Fulmer. But allegedly, those are the guys that folks are sort of zeroing in on, and apparently Jeremy Pruitt will interview again with Philip Fulmer this morning. So those are your candidates, and I think any of the three, based on where Tennessee is right now and what's happened with Tennessee recently, would be good hires. And I got an idea of what this whole Vol Twitter, Tennessee fan Twitter, VFL Twitter, has sort of turned into the last, I don't know, month, 3 weeks. Trying to give a little bit of praise for the candidates that are left, and 80% of the Tennessee fans' reaction is just legit attack mode. Bringing up previous records, lack of head coaching experience, why it's a bad idea, why they can't win, who else they would want. This is why you're struggling to get a head coach. Because people don't want to go where they're not wanted. And if someone's a good candidate, you're going to have a chance to miss out on those guys because a couple of fanatics don't feel like it's a good idea or look at a record from a decade ago. So it's intriguing to see sort of how it's playing out. But for me, I'm a big Kevin Steele fan. I don't care what happened at Baylor in 1994, whenever it was. Jeremy Pruitt is going to be a head coach. He's going to be a good one. Mel Tucker is going to be a head coach one day. He's going to be a good one. It's kind of like Lane Kiffin. Like, I see this Oregon job that's now open. That, to me, is a match made in heaven. It's a perfect fit, Lane Kiffin in Oregon. And I understand you probably need to find some sort of babysitter, hall monitor, something for Lane Kiffin if you're a Power 5 school and you're going to name him your head coach. But you got to find a way to take a risk and take a chance on somebody that has a chance to be great if you're not going to be able to just go get a proven commodity at a head coach. And everyone at Tennessee says they want a proven commodity. We want a coach with winning experience. We want a coach that's done it. Who's left? You've tried to get 14 other guys and you hadn't gotten them. I don't know who's left that you could potentially go get. So, Arky, I don't know if you, Arky Shea, producer of the show, program director of Sports, I don't know if you believe this is a bad idea. I don't know if you believe that Tennessee is in desperation mode. I don't know if you believe that any of those three or four could win at Tennessee. I think we've covered T. Martin to the nth degree. But the other three candidates would be a good idea. Maybe you're on board with a lot of Vol Twitter saying that they're going to go buy a jersey of another school and pack it in if this is the case.
You know, I don't know how Kevin Steele would do at Tennessee. And I don't know how Jeremy Pruitt would do there, because I don't know what kind of coordinators you, what kind of good big money, no matter how much you put towards it, you're going to be able to get to bring with you. And it doesn't mean that you have to have the big dollars to be able to get guys that can be successful. It's just going to be a big unknown if one of those guys in whatever coordinator group they get to go to Tennessee. And that's okay. Like, I don't have the answers for Tennessee, because they have chased off so many people. They have offered so many people. They all thought they had two different guys that one, the fan base wasn't going to like, and the other, the fan base was going to love.
Yeah.
So I don't know what's going to be a good answer for Tennessee. I think you have to get somebody in there now that really wants the job. Somebody that really appreciates wanting to be at Tennessee. And that's why I think Kevin Steele will be a good hire there. I mean, Tennessee would probably have a great chance of just calming everyone for a minute if they got T. Martin. But if you bring T. Martin in another role, and let's say Kevin Steele becomes the head coach, at least you're still talking about alums there that people can maybe, just maybe wrap their arms around. I don't think everything that Vol Twitter likes to do is something that you should sort of say chases you away from a job that you would want. I just don't know about Kevin Steele. I think he's obviously a very good defensive coordinator. He was up for the Broyles Award last night, which apparently he missed because he was in meetings with Philip Fulmer. I don't know if he can be anything other than a great defensive coordinator. But maybe he was in a bad situation at Baylor anyway. And it was hard for him to be able to try to, for anybody to try to build that up.
Yeah.
So it's not say that he took Alabama and put him into the dirt. And we're talking about a bad Baylor program in history that just stayed bad. He didn't get great or good. So I don't know if Kevin Steele's the answer but at Tennessee, but I don't think anyone's going to get the answer that they want unless T. Martin's involved some way.
And I think if Kevin Steele's the guy, the plan would probably be to try to get T. Martin as offensive coordinator. And I think you're looking at sort of a similar deal to Coach O in that at LSU – and that we're not going to have to pay him $4.5 million, $5.5 million, so we're going to have some more money for assistance. We can get a big name offensive and defensive coordinator. And Kevin Steele's not going to do this for 10 or 12 years. So you could bring T. Martin in. You bump T. Martin's making $700,000. That's the equivalent of making $200,000 in Knoxville. You bump him to $1.2 million. You're essentially tripling his pay. So if that's what you wanted to do and bring him in as OC, here's what I know about. I mean, and I'll group these three together: Mel Tucker, Kevin Steele, and Jeremy Pruitt. I'll say this: if it comes down to those three, and it comes down to the interview, Kevin Steele is going to smash those guys in an interview. That won't even be close. That will not even be debatable. And from what I hear, some of the newer money behind the doors at Tennessee doesn't think Kevin Steele is going to win the press conference, so they're trying to convince Fulmer not to do it. Which again, It shows you that people who don't know football are trying to make decisions. But I think when you look at Jeremy Pruitt, Mel Tucker, and Kevin Steele, the three things those three guys have going for them, they can all coach. We know they can coach defense. They can all recruit. They're all really good recruiters. I think they can all lead. I think they're all good leaders. And they can all put together really good staffs. And I think Kevin, Jeremy, and then Mel as far as how good of staffs. But And then Mel, obviously, you're hiring a minority. Always think that's a cool thing in the SEC. I'm not saying that should be the reason that you hire him, but I think that's an added advantage and a big plus for Tennessee to show that you can go do that. I think though any of those three would be great, and I think they all have a lot of the same characteristics. Obviously, Jeremy and Mel are a lot younger than Kevin, so if you're looking long-term plan, those guys might be a better fit, maybe give you a little bit more. But Kevin Steele's a guy to me that can come in, can get that program in good shape for whoever's going to take over next, then 6 to 7 to 8 years, and then he's done. Then he can retire because he'll make good money for the next few years, and he can put some away, and that's it. He's close to retirement anyway. So I think he'd be good. I think he'd be really good, and I think he and Fulmer would be on the same page, which is big, because you're going to have to get along with Philip Fulmer if you take this job. You just are. You're going to have to sort of be one of his guys because he's going to meddle. He's going to be involved. He's going to want to have some sort of a say, which I don't even know what that really means. Does he want to call plays, or does he want to like to tell you when to go for two? I'm not really sure, but seeing just some of the reaction to any of those three yesterday, and Tennessee fans who wanted to burn their jerseys, and Tennessee fans who wanted to go cheer for another team now, it's unbelievable, and it's just it's hilarious. So I don't know what a lot of people want, to be perfectly honest with you.
I think that they don't get a huge name or a name that they are identifying with as far as going to win a press conference. It's going to make you want to be a huge UT fall for life forever from day one. I think Tennessee fans are tired of getting guys who aren't names, guys who aren't coaches who are well proven track record wise. I think when you go from Kiffin, who was really well unproven, and then you go to, you know, Derek Dooley, and you have Butch Jones, and you're just dealing with a bunch of guys who can give you all the promises in the world, but if you're a fan base, I mean, that would annoy me too. I mean, you would think being the power T that you have the power, the money, the resources, the prestige to be able to garner just about any name you want. And to see that the last few coaching searches are coming down to this, I mean, it's frustrating. They're a frustrated fan base. And I know that they're easy to take shots at now, but I get it. I completely get it. That if you're constantly staring at these guys who may or may not be able to recruit, but definitely can't coach good enough, can't develop players, can't get you past the 9-win plateau, but in a down east that's been down for almost a decade, couldn't get you a division title, it's seriously frustrating to sit there and watch that happen to your program, and then happen to watch it again in 2017, knowing that you have an opportunity to make a home run higher in their eyes, and you can't even get close to it. That you may be having to rely on a really old former player, or you may have to rely on another one of Saban's guys, or you may have to rely on one of Saban and Kirby Smart's guys, as opposed to being able to just get a name that you would want that was a head coach somewhere else, that was a big name somewhere else, or even an up-and-coming rising young guy.
It's possible. Let's get to 10 After Tweets brought to you by First Family Mortgage. Go to 1FMC.com.
Bring me the tweets!
Bill Big D tweets at Cole Kublik. So you hire a coach that you might not trust off the field in Kiffin. Oregon doesn't need to risk it. They want to win 10, 12 games a year, they will. Easy.
You don't think they can win 10 or 12 games a year if they just...
At FAU? Yeah, probably could.
If they just left Mario Cristobal, is what he wanted to do?
I like Mario. I think Mario's a good dude.
Off him today.
If you're talking just dynamic, the ability to put you over the top. Listen, for the negatives that Kiffin potentially brings off the field, he also brings a lot on the field, and that's not just coaching. I mean, apparently FAU's out-of-state applicants are up 40%.
Well, that kind of happens.
How much have we talked about FAU this year, and we would have never given them a word, a mention. We wouldn't have read a tweet about them on the air for the entire season. I mean, he's going to bring attention to your program. Morgan doesn't need a ton of that, but it all falls into the positive category. And it appears he's behaved himself off the field for this year. So,
yeah, but that's because we're not focused so much on FAU and what he's doing in the clubs at FAU. I'll say this, though, about Kiffin. I feel like at some point he's going to learn his lesson, and you're going to be able to say this is a rehab project that you can trust off the field. But I don't know if Winnie or Boca Raton did it. So if you want to, and by the way, it's bogus that they had to go to the Boca Raton Bowl. Did FAU. That's their home stadium. That's so stupid. You should automatically go to another bowl game of that conference if you're being selected to go to your own stadium. So stupid. But I'm telling you this. There is a perception for Lane Kiffin outside of all of this is that he constantly is falling his way upward. And we're going to give him 1 year at Boca Raton and then send him to Oregon? That's a huge gig. That is a big Pac-12 gig to get. Be a guy that got to be the Raiders head coach in his early 30s, then went to Tennessee, high-profile name in the SEC, then went to USC, had to take a huge step down to go to Bama. All he was able to do was win a championship there and send his team to the championship game the next year, and gets another head coaching gig at a small school, wins a championship, and is going to fall right back forward up to Oregon. That dude's getting a lot of breaks because he's been really good at calling offensive play, but I don't know. He's a sexy name, though.
Yeah.
A lot of people are excited. I don't know why everybody in Tennessee wants Lane Kiffin back. It seems like a dumb proposition.
Chris Crow tweets, Steele, Pruitt, Tucker, all will be great choices. All can coast their asses off, work hard, and no defense. UT fans need a reality check. What is happening underneath that one? I don't think we can read those.
There is also a quick to forget side of the fan bases that Kirby Smart. Where was he the head coach before he got to Georgia? Where was Jimbo Fisher the head coach before he got to Florida State?
I think three of the four head coaches in this year's college football playoff were not head coaches before they got the head coach at their current school.
So it's possible to be a good coordinator and become a good coach.
Yeah.
It's just, I don't know. I worry more so about Kevin Steele than Tucker or Pruitt. And I think part of that's age.
It's fair. But you agree, though, that, I mean, they're all going to say, or a lot of them are going to say, and I saw some of this via Twitter last night, T. Martin. You think he's realistically a much better option than Kevin Steele? To be a head coach of a football team?
Probably not. Be nice to see him. I'll say this about Kevin Steele. I really like Kevin Steele as a coordinator. I've said that before. As a head coach, do you think we start bringing back the head coach in waiting? Because that was mentioned once this offseason by somebody else.
Yeah, I just don't. I think you.
T. Martin becomes our HIC or HC.
I think you do it, but you don't say it publicly. You just kind of tell him, this is how we want this to go.
We're going to right the ship here. We're going to clean everything up. We're going to build up. And then in a few years, when it's over, this is T's job. Let him call some plays. Let him get used to recruiting back down here and staying down here for a couple of seasons. And let's just then let him build it back up.
Matt Vollmer tweets at Cole Kublik, "Sir, the Vols are one of the winningest programs in the history of the NCAA. The incompetence of the entire AD over the past 10 years has led us to this point. We have settled for the past two coaches and continue to fill Neyland Stadium. Time to start winning again. Now!"
Finally. What are we waiting on?
It's gonna be a couple months before you play again, but... Sorry.
So even if they wanted to win now, they wouldn't be eligible to play now? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, not right this second.
It's
going to be a little while.
That's what people are saying, Cole, about Tennessee. They want to win now. The only thing they can win now is a press conference. You can win the press conference now. You can win the early signing day. By the way, I can't wait for all the articles on the early signing day winners and losers. Can't wait for those.
It's coming.
By the way, I do want to announce that later in this show, in fact, we may start in the next segment, we will reveal the link for the Cube Show Bowl Challenge.
Oh.
So you can start signing up. Games are in 10 days, by the way. 10 days, just an FYI. So we'll start rolling that bad boy out. Bill Big D says, Ed Arcachet, glad you understand my logic. It's about Lane Kiffin.
Yeah.
That guy's been fortunate. Very, very fortunate.
Yes.
Very fortunate.
Brandon Marcello tweets, Auburn, North Carolina circling deal to play in 2020.
So it's funny because Brandon Marcello tweeted, I got some big, I think big breaking news coming up in just a few minutes. And then like, it's the story. And there were people legitimately mad that this was the story that he was talking about, big breaking news for Auburn. People were like, man, I'm unfollowing this guy. This isn't huge breaking news. I thought you were talking about Kevin Steele. or Austin Wiley and Daniel Purifoy. No, this is a. But you've seen this North Carolina team.
Yuck.
Now they'll probably
be
different.
But they could be a different team in 2020.
They'll probably be different. You know what I noticed about these games in Atlanta, and I think this happened. This game ends up being like the second week of the year, not the first week in 2020. Is that they announced these about 2 years ahead of time. This isn't like a 5-year deal. This is like 2 years ahead of time.
Right.
Which is an interesting time frame as far as being able to get this. But let's just get your off-the-wall reaction, Cole. It's Reaction Wednesday.
Oh.
What your reaction on Auburn, North Carolina?
I think it's a good move by Auburn. I like it. And because I agree with you, I don't think they will be as miserable of a football team in 2020 as they are now. You don't expect that to be that way. If they are, that's added benefit. You did your best. You scheduled an ACC team out of conference. It's a win. And you got to get one in every year. So, there you go.
North Carolina, a high-profile enough team, but not a traditionally great football team. So, you satisfy the Power 5 requirement. You satisfy the requirement, but the ability to get a neutral site field, a neutral site game somewhere. Fun for recruiting, fun for us to talk about. You get all the attention possible as far as being on that second weekend, and that's the interesting thing about this, Cole, is that that's that second weekend. Remember earlier this year we were talking about how we think these games are going to start happening in the second weekend more, too. Because that first weekend gets so loaded with games that sometimes these games get scheduled on top of each other.
Yeah.
And they're big-profile games. And the second week ends up usually being like a dud.
Miserable. Yeah. I kind of like – that's why that Notre Dame-Georgia game was so big this year. Because all the good ones were week one. Yeah. So I'm okay with this these week two big games because – we'll spread the wealth a little bit.
Yeah, we need like a week 14 set of these games.
Was it like week 3 this year that we had like 4 really, really big games slotted in prime time?
I think you're right.
I can't remember. I think it was week 3 because
we
maybe
like
that was Ohio State, Oklahoma.
And it's like two 6:30s and a 6.
Oh, it's like I can't watch all these. Number one, I'm working. But
well, see, that's the thing. You're always going to be screwed out of that because you're going to be
on the job. All right, we'll get to a break. When we come back, the Cube Show, Early Morning Audible, next.
Sports Radio 730 and 1039, The Ump.
Touchdown, Titans!
There's no better way to spend your mornings than with The Cube Show. Every morning, 6 to 10 on The Ump.
Back in Cube Show, Sports Radio 730 and 103.9 The Ump. Listen online, umpsports.com. Live from the Southern RV Wholesale Studio, go to srvwholesale.com. Click the fire sale tab today for the best prices in America on fifth wheels, travel trailers, toy haulers, and more. srvwholesale.com. Let's get to the early morning audible.
Time for the Cube Show Early Morning Audible.
Chubb's going to town! Touchdown! I think, yeah! Chubby time, baby! Grandma, get out the rye bread and mustard! It is grand salami time!
He's at the 50, the 40, the 35!
Yes!
He will score!
Yeah, yeah! He's got a touchdown! Kansas City!
Cole Kublik, the NFL is hot and heavy this time of the year. But first, let me remind you, Alabama basketball tonight on the Ump takes on Rhode Island. They take on the Rams tonight, an NCAA tournament-bound team. Maybe are the Rams. But that also gets you set for Friday night action, where Alabama heads to Arizona to take on Arizona. Arizona, good guess. They're taking on the Arizona Wildcats, who won last night. They're back on the winning streak, are the Wildcats, after dropping, I think, three in a row earlier this year. Anyway, 6 o'clock tonight is when cover starts of Alabama versus Rhode Island, and Friday, 8 o'clock cover starts of Alabama and Arizona. That's a 9 p.m. tip.
It's late.
But it's Friday. What you guys doing anyway?
Yeah.
Cole, four NFL teams have a chance to clinch. Not playoff spots, just... But they're divisions this week, so our game right now, can you name them? Can you name the four teams that can clinch this week?
Philadelphia.
Philadelphia is one of them.
New England.
New England is one of them.
Pittsburgh.
Is third.
And who would be fourth?
Probably the most surprising of them.
Minnesota.
Minnesota is the fourth one. Well done by you on that one.
Yeah. I'm smart.
All four of those teams can clinch their division title this week. Three others.
I mean, is this surprisingly early? It feels early, but not like insane early.
There'll be three games left after this to clinch their division. Not a playoff spot, their division.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Really, it feels early. A little early, but not. I mean, it's not like we're talking egregious early here.
Well, Jacksonville, Los Angeles Rams, and New Orleans can get a playoff spot also this weekend, and Pittsburgh can clinch a playoff berth with a Buffalo loss. So a lot on the line for the first time this weekend. Actually, the first time was Philadelphia last week, choking it up against Seattle. Let's first talk about one of those teams in Pittsburgh. But first, the thoughts of everyone is on Ryan Shazier, who was hoped to have been moved yesterday back to Pittsburgh. That is not going to be the case. He's going to be there for another a day or two. And Mike Tomlin said Ryan Shazier is in good hands.
It was a tough evening. Man, Ryan's a trooper. Had an opportunity to spend some time with him. Man, he's in really good spirits. Tough guy. He's got great support from family and loved ones there. It was painful to kind of get on that plane last night. You know, that's life. We realize and understand that he's in really good hands and is getting expert medical care. And he also challenged us to move on with what it is that we need to move on, and he's with us as well.
And he continues to talk about the keeping perspective during these difficult times.
You know, I've been in football all my life. Unfortunately, injuries occur, serious injuries occur from time to time, and they're capable of shaking you individually and collectively. And I think we all probably deal with it in different ways. I think it's all probably got to do with our personal relationships with the game of football. Me, football has been so awesome in my life, man. It's blessed me in so many ways that I have that perspective as I push through some of those difficult times.
Pittsburgh will host Baltimore this weekend at the Sunday night game. You can hear that one right here on the Ump, where Le'Veon Bell leads the NFL in rushing with 1,057 yards and 1,559 scrimmage yards, while Antonio Brown is first in catches and receiving yards. He's also hit 569 catches and 7,611 receiving yards since 2013, passed Marvin Harrison for the most receptions and receiving yards by a player in any five-year span, not just to start a career, in any five-year span in NFL history. So Antonio Brown, Cole, confirmed pretty good?
Pretty decent, yeah.
All right.
He's above average.
Bill Belichick wants to clinch their division, but let's focus on the Dolphins.
Well, right now our minds are on Miami, and that's who we're getting ready for, and that's we'll get ready to play down there Monday night. We just played them a week ago, and it was a very competitive game. You know, we were up by two scores in the middle of the fourth quarter, and they had the ball. So this week, sure to be another competitive game down there, and then playing at home Monday night, be a great atmosphere. So we're just trying to get ready for that.
Yeah, that is going to be right here on the up as well. Patriots at Dolphins. It's funny. I always thought it's interesting how the NFL does this, where you'll have games that literally happen 3 weeks apart. We're not talking playoffs. We're talking Dolphins played the Pats 2 weeks ago. Last week played the Bills. Now they'll play the Dolphins again. I don't, it's just weird. It is weird. It's just weird. It's all. Let's go over.
You see that a lot, though, where
yeah, it's just
teams
weird.
In the same division, they don't play all year, and then they play two times in the last 3 weeks.
I'm just going to say it out loud. Not a fan of that. Not a fan.
It's rigged.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I'll go with that. I'll go with it's rigged. You're right. It's rigged.
The drama is rigged.
Cole, tomorrow night's Thursday Night Football on the up as the Saints take on the Falcons in Atlanta. Our chance to see Mercedes-Benz Stadium again. This game features New Orleans 9-3 at Atlanta 7-5. All four of Atlanta's remaining games on the season are in division, which is interesting. New Orleans 9-3 leads Atlanta by two games, but they still have two games to go with New Orleans. Here is Matt Ryan talking about how tough of a game this is going to be.
You know, it's always tough playing New Orleans. They're very well coached. They're playing great this year. Obviously, their record proves that. You know, these games are going to come down to, you know, the end of the game, last possession. Most of the times, at least throughout my career, it's been that way. And, you know, we'll be prepared. I'm sure the Dome will be rocking on Thursday night. So we're looking forward to that. But, you know, it's always exciting to play your teams in the division, especially New Orleans, and good matchup on Thursday.
Matt Ryan's thrown for 3,000 yards for the eighth straight season in the past six games against New Orleans. He has thrown for 71%, 1,970 yards, 14 touchdowns, and just one interception.
Whoa.
That is something to watch out for as he talks about the Saints defense playing really well.
Their front four has been really solid against the run. They've also done a great job in terms of creating pass rush. I think they've got some new players in the secondary that have done a good job for them this year. They had some injuries the last couple of weeks, but when you watch them throughout the year, I mean, they've done a nice job in the secondary. So I think they're improved on the defensive side of the ball. I think they played very well all year.
All right, Cole, this is going to be fun. Alvin Kamara and Mark Ingram have combined for at least 200 scrimmage yards in five consecutive games. Kamara and Ingram are the first pair of running back teammates to each gain at least 100 scrimmage yards in the same game four times in a season since the 85 49ers. Can you name those backs?
85 49ers would be Roger Craig and Tom Rathman?
Wendell Tyler. Close. Cole,
Craig was right, though?
Yes, absolutely. You got half of it, which is more than I probably would have gotten.
I didn't really
myself.
Think it was Tom Rathman, but I also didn't know another 1985 49ers running back.
Mr. Kowalik, Archie Manning talks. We listen. That's the motto of this station. Archie Manning last night talked about these Ole Miss sanctions. He's, by the way, he was at the pro football, the high school, college football, whatever, Hall of Fame thing that they were doing.
Archie, tell me about your school getting pounded.
We got hammered. I'm pretty disappointed. I'm pretty disappointed. We didn't think it was going to be. We thought we cooperated with everything in NCAA, self-imposed, and thought that should have been enough. We got blasted pretty good last week. So if we're guilty, we're going to do our punishment. We're going to peel this second-year bowl ban. I'm not sure it's right. I don't like the it's some things about this whole investigation I don't like, but that's all right. If you're guilty, you get punished, and we'll move on, and we'll build back. We're in a tough league. So you got to get everything positive and everything going if you play in that league, and we will. We'll bounce back.
Sure.
Do we expect anyone affiliated with Ole Miss anywhere to say, yeah, feel pretty good about it. I feel like they dealt us a fair hand there.
No.
Ready to move forward now.
All I feel like we're going to hear is...
We got hammered.
You're talking about if, like, on spring break or Ole Miss sanctions.
Where I was going.
We got hammered.
That's right. Land Sharks it is. He also, remember, there's been a lot of discussion.
Maybe they should be the Hammerheads.
That's true. Hey, I don't like Land Sharks. How about we be the...
We got hammered.
That maybe that'll be their motto. You know, the Land Sharks.
We got hammered.
Hey, listen, the Grove is a great place to pregame. Archie May was also asked about his son. Do you want to know which one we're talking about here?
Cooper. Of course,
not
Cooper.
Cooper.
Oh, well, Peyton was getting inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame, so...
Boom! Nailed it! Peyton Manning getting
hammered?
We got hammered.
Okay.
Peyton Manning getting inducted in the Hall of Fame. He was also asked about... by the way, they're both in the College Football Hall of Fame. He was asked if his son Peyton will ever coach.
Oh.
I don't think so. People think Peyton would be a good head coach. I do, too. He kind of is intrigued a little bit, I think, about front office stuff a little bit, you know, and he's got a lot of friends, and they let him sneak into that every now and then. But he's busy. He's got a lot going on busy, so he's doing fine.
Trying to hire a football coach at Tennessee. What are you talking about?
We didn't ask if he was bored, if he had anything on his plate.
Couldn't sneak into that every now and then. But he's busy. He's got a lot going on busy, so he's doing fine.
Couldn't he get Phil's old job, like that $100,000 a year consultant gig?
Yeah, that wouldn't be a bad idea.
Just let him hang around in the Peyton Manning room up there in their facility.
Archie says Peyton's busy. What do you think he's doing?
We got hammered.
Over there chugging. That's your early morning audible.
We'll get to a break. When we come back, we get physical. Next, right here on Cube Show. You know, Aaron Rodgers has got fans kind of in a frenzy, shown throwing before the game this weekend.
Yeah, look at him teasing us.
Acting like he might be back. The Bills placed former Madison Academy wide receiver Jordan Matthews and former Clemson defensive end Shaq Lawson on season-ending injured reserve yesterday.
That's too bad. Cole, I want to take you to Okaloosa Island. That's in Florida.
That's
in Florida. Where we got a story right out of the Real Pages. Where an opossum... Okay, first things first. Possum or opossum?
What?
Possum or opossum? How do you say it?
I've never even heard someone say opossum.
You never heard someone say opossum?
No, I've never heard that.
Well, an opossum that snuck into a liquor store on the Emerald Coast is now safe in the wildlife refuge after it snuck into a liquor store the day after Thanksgiving and had a few drinks. That's right. Michelle Pettis, who is a health technician at the wildlife refuge, said that the juvenile female opossum, watch out for those girls, a tricky even in the opossum game, was caught at Cash's liquor store the day after Thanksgiving, right next to the opossum, a broken and empty bottle of alcohol. A worker there found the opossum on a shelf next to a cracked open bottle.
You're just
going
to say opossum to be annoying now?
I'm just reading the quote. Assuming the opossum drank it all. Why wouldn't you?
How'd he get it open?
He's a slush. Oh, you know how opossum, they got the tail, that prehensile tail. Just twist that thing right open.
Okay.
Pettis said the opossum appeared disoriented, drunk, was excessively salivating, also drunk, and appeared to be pale, all drunk. The staff quickly pumped up the marsupial full of fluids and cared for her as she sobered up. That's right, Cole. We sobered up an opossum in Florida over the weekend.
Wow. I'm still confused as to how it would get it open.
The tail! The prehensile tail, bro!
How did it know to unscrew the cap or pull out the cork?
This wasn't her...
Say what kind of booze it is?
This isn't her first foray into...
Oh.
Alcohol, clearly.
All right. Arky, a man accidentally shot himself and his wife.
What?
During a discussion about guns in church.
Oh, it makes sense. What? That makes sense. What?
It happened
in
a Tennessee church last week.
Oh, guys.
Thankfully, neither hit with life-threatening injuries. At first, United Methodist Church in Tellico Plains, Tennessee, They were hosting a lunch. Pastors were discussing the recent shooting at a Texas church, and the topic turned to whether or not weapons had a place in the house of worship.
Sure, sure.
That's when an 81-year-old parishioner said he takes his gun everywhere.
Yeah, he does. Why wouldn't he?
And he brought it out for everyone to see.
See here? Right in my hand. Roy Moore.
Took out the clip, made sure there wasn't a round in the chamber, and passed his gun around.
Sure.
After everybody who wanted to get a look at it, he reloaded the weapon and holstered it like a responsible gun owner. Moments later, someone else asked to see it. That person accidentally hit the trigger. While getting it out of the holster, a single bullet struck the gun owner in his right hand before hitting his 80-year-old wife in her abdomen.
Mm.
Don't play with an 81-year-old's gun while it's loaded is your lesson here, folks.
Mm. Surprised they can load it at that age.
Back with more Cube Show next.